If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, good morning, good morning, good morning. Yesterday, we went into two of three parts dealing with what happens if you happen to be arrested by some body of law, some law enforcement, or some cop, some police officer, some peace officer, whatever you want to call them. If you get arrested by a cop and it's a bogus arrest, it is an illegal arrest, and you resist. About court cases and things going on. We are going to get back to that. Right? We have to get back to that. There's a very important third section to that, which, again, we're going to get back to. So I want to take care of just a couple of things right now. First of all, you're listening to 2A Radio, as in Second Amendment Radio, 2A, on Republic Broadcasting Network, or RBN. 2aradio.com is the website. My email address is bill@2aradio.com. If you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. That, from there, you call in, you get a hold of the engineers that are at the network in Texas. I broadcast out of Nevada. They shoot me a cool little message to let me know that I have a caller. When I have the opportunity, I get to you. And everything carries on nicely. If you ever want to send me an email directly, it's bill@2aradio.com, or to go to 2aradio.com and just go to the submission page, and you can actually fill out a little form, send it to me, and I'll get it. And if need be, I'll get back to you on it. Additionally, if you send me an email, please, don't ever send me forwards. Don't send me forwards of just stuff. If you want to send me a direct bit of information, some comments, something directly to me, great. Don't, and if you want to add me to something that you're forwarding out, please restrain yourself. Don't do it. I get so many forwards. I literally have probably 8 email addresses. I bet you I have 8 email addresses for different groups, different people. And I inevitably get everything everybody sends to me anyhow. So keep it to direct communications. I get stuff, I don't even know how these people get my email address, unless someone adds my address as a CC to everybody else, and they don't blind CC it, so then everybody starts sending me, I don't know, it's crazy. Anyhow, I am going to let you know some of the just basic everyday difficulties of life that I experienced when I left the studio yesterday and went on about my day. I left the studio. I had to go to Walmart's. Always corporate greed. Always. And I had just a hellacious experience with them. Then I left and I went to breakfast. And breakfast almost seemed as though the experience at Walmart's was pleasant. So I'm going to get a little bit of release coming up in the next segment, let you know a little bit about what happened. And I swear to God, if I had EOD experience, I might have tried to take Walmart's down. Not literally. I mean, let's be serious about this. But I was just that ticked off. Anyhow, stay tuned. We'll be back. Show me
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, folks, welcome back. Now, as you, all of you probably should ought to know, that the studio that I broadcast out of is actually Dave Champion's studio. Dave Champion has the Dave Champion Show right here on RBN, starting in a few hours. It's at 1 o'clock Pacific, 3 o'clock Central Time, Monday through Friday. And it's actually Dave's office, and one of the rooms in his office is a studio we have set up into a studio. And it's also kind of cool because Dave also has an area back here where he can, you know, do cleaning and maintenance and stuff on his guns if he wants to come in here on the weekend or something and do that. He doesn't have to have a separate area set up in his house the way I do, and he gets everything done. Anyhow, this studio has a little bit of a sound issue. I mean, there we have some, you know, egg foam up and things like that to keep it down, but it is a little bit echoey just by the nature of the design of this room and the things that are in here. So Dave and I were talking, and what I ended up doing was getting some materials to be able to kind of do a little bit of a studio curtain back behind us when we are broadcasting. And then in addition, Dave is putting some of his shows up on video, different segments of the show, up on the Dave Champion channel on YouTube. So you can go to YouTube and type in Dave Champion and check those things out. But we're putting up kind of a curtain behind, A, to kind of hide some of the gun working area, and B, really to help out with some of the sound in this actual room. Again, it's a little bit echoey in here, not tinny by any means. We have plenty of FM-style bass in here. But no, it's just a little echoey. So I go to Walmart's to get some stuff. I need to get a rod, some dowel, some material, all kinds of stuff. I go into the fabric area. Take probably about 5 minutes to decide what material I want to get. The actual material itself, plus a decent color. Because, again, Dave's filming some of the stuff. Want to have a good color behind him. And then I spend the next 20 minutes waiting on somebody, anybody, any jackass with a Walmart name tag to come there and help me out with, you know, cutting this material and giving the little tag so I can go pay for it. And there's a little button that says, press this button for assistance. Okay, so I push the button. And the button isn't like a ding-dong, or it's not a store-wide page like customer needs assistance in fabrics and crafts. It's nothing like that. It's some stupid circus sound like jin jin jiggity and it down and it burnt. And I'm like, wow, you got to be kidding me. They put stupidity on the speaker. And it's just right there on the pole above me that you're going vertical. You know, one of these support poles that goes from the floor up to the ceiling of the big Walmart's warehouse. And I'm like, wow, that's stupid. So I wait about 5 minutes. And I push the button again. Great. Yeah. So now I'm a good 10, 15 minutes into being into this area. And there's nobody. Keep in mind, this is like 8:30 in the morning. But local time, Pacific time. Because right now, you know, it's just after 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm on the West Coast. So I let another 5 minutes go by. And I'm walking around, okay, what else do I need? I don't need anything. And I'm staying right there. I'm walking around the fabric and craft section. I'm not a fabric and craft kind of guy. So there's not much for me to look at. So again, I push the button. Great. I feel like I went from ring number one to ring number three into the center ring, ring number two, if that's the way it goes in the circus. And I'm just somebody bebopping around with a clown car waiting on the ringmaster to come in here and relieve me before I get mauled by a tiger. So about 5 or 6 minutes after that, I walk into the next area, which is where, like, you can get the cameras and stuff like that, the photo area. And I walk up and I ask a lady, I said, do you have the ability to pay somebody to come over to fabric? She goes, yes, I do. I said, thank you. And I walked away. What I realized after waiting there for about another 7 or 8 minutes is that I didn't complete that discussion with the lady in the camera area. I didn't complete it. All I said was, do you have the ability to page somebody for fabric? She said, yes. I said, thank you. What I neglected to do was said, will you please get on the intercom or phone and actually get someone over here to help me? I neglected to ask that. Something tells me that nothing happened. Maybe it did. or whoever's supposed to work in the fabric section got hit by a bus on the way into work, or just simply decided to be, you know, just neglect their duties. So, as it were, I grabbed the fabric that I had laid out there that I wanted, and they have this little thing you can flop this fabric out and measure it. So I measured it. It was just under 3 yards. $2.50 a yard. So I owe $7.50. Actually, I only owe about $6.75 because it was like the third yard was only 2 feet of the three. But that's fine. I'll pay the $7.50 just to get the living hell out of this Marxist establishment. So I just fold everything back up and boom, head up there to the cash register. I start checking out. And the lady looks at the thing, and I said, look, that fabric, as you can see right there, it's written on, it's $2.50 a yard. It's 3 yards that are in there. I'll pay, it's a little under 3 yards. I'll pay for 3 yards just to get the hell out of here. So she tries to hit the little scanner thing on there. It doesn't work. Evidently, the little scanner number thingy, mabob, on the stupid fabric thing only worked so they can actually make the ticket back in the abandoned fabric area. So she doesn't know what to do. I said, just plug in $7.50 and let me go. You guys can worry about the inventory control later. Just take it off of the roll, keep the roll, so you have the little scan thing, and let them know you sold what was left. About that time, some little old grandma lady who's like a first-tier supervisor comes up. She looks, oh, what do we need to do here? As it turns out, oh, we can't do that. She walks into the back end of the customer service area. All right? Well, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then the lady who's checking me out. Now we're standing there holding up everybody else in line. There's only two registers open in the store at that part of the day. One is where we are, all the way at one end of the store. The other one's all the way at the other end of the store. Okay? So it's almost 100, well, probably not 100, 150 feet away. So people are backing up. So you know what? Fine. Take all my garbage off of the register. Let these people check out. And then you can throw me back in line when they finally pull their heads out. Okay, because they're getting you the barcode right now. I said, just do the thing. About 10 minutes after the little old lady walked away, she finally came back. And she came back from the back of the store where the fabric area was. So she walked up front, went into the customer service area. I turned my back on that. I didn't even want to watch the clowning around that was going on in the circus. Then evidently, she waddled her pokey old ass all the way back to the back of the store. Unearthed someone to actually do whatever they need to do in fabrics with the thing, and then brought it back to me. By this time, about 8 people had checked out. So it's a good thing that I hadn't, you know, said, oh, no, we're waiting on me. So then when she comes back, I look at her and I say, let me ask you something. Do the checkers have the ability to actually stand there and say, look, whatever this is, I don't know, but I'm going to charge you $7.50, enter. Do you have the ability to do that input on these machines? She goes, yes, but we can't do that with fabrics. I said, I didn't ask anything about fabrics. I asked if you could have a checker manually input the base gross amount, $2.50 times 3, $7.50. Does this checker or any other checker have the physical ability to put in, okay, forget about the actual UPC code. $7.50 on a generic item, bang, and then it adds tax at the end. Is that possible? Yes. Good. Then tell me why I waited 25 minutes in the back of this store for somebody to help me and it didn't work. So I come up here. And rather than telling the checker to generically ring up $7.50 worth of whatever, and then you guys take on your time to do the inventory control with the UPC code later, allowing me to finally get the hell out of here. Why didn't you do that? Why did you waste an additional 10 minutes of my time? I had 5 to 10 minutes worth of shopping to do today. I've been here 45 minutes delayed by you guys. Why in the world did you not tell this checker to put in $7.50 generically, take the material off of the cardboard thing with the friggin' barcode on it, and have me pay and send me on my way, and then you waddle your old ass to the back of the store with the barcode and have them do the inventory control when they finally hire somebody to work in the back? Why didn't you do that? Oh, because my supervisor said I couldn't. I thought you were a supervisor. Well, I'm a first line supervisor. The front of the store supervisor said we can do that, we just can't do it on material. I said, do me a favor. I want you to waddle your ass back there and tell whoever it is who told you you couldn't do that, that from this point forth, if I ever need anything that's a special sort of deal, I don't need to come here for any big amount of stuff. I just need to come here for something specific. I will purposely go to Home Depot, Ace Hardware, one of the local outlets, something like that, before I walk my ass back into this particular Walmart's and buy anything else, because you people have just delayed me by 35, now because I'm ranting, 40 minutes of my day. Do you have any idea what 40 minutes of my day is worth to me? Because according to you guys, it's worth your time to delay me and waddle around for $7.50 worth of freaking material. I finally got out of there. And then the first person I called my girlfriend to rant and rave about this event. She ends up with some incredibly loud, formerly drunk, and now hungover broad in the background of her work. So loud I can't even get a word in edgewise. Wait till you hear what happened at breakfast in the next segment. You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. All right, guys, welcome back. So, after this whole thing that happened at Walmart's, then I decide, you know what? I'm hungry. I've got some work to do up at the studio. I'm going to go eat some breakfast. So on the way back, as a matter of fact, it's two parking lots away from the studio where I sit right now, is a little local casino, and they got a hotel called Saddle West. Locals oftentimes refer to it as Saddle Worst, whatever. They have a buffet breakfast, so I decide, you know what, I'm going to chill out. I'm going to go in there for buffet breakfast. Now, I should have just paid attention to myself. And just either, and probably gone to like one of the fast food joints or just gone hungry. Because traditionally, the buffet, especially the breakfast buffet at Saddle West, is really lousy food. And the service makes the food look 5-star. So I was setting myself up for failure here, especially after being so frustrated at Walmart's. Walmart. Always corporate greed. Always. So I go into Saddle West. I'm standing there for about 3 minutes while a couple is standing at the register. You walk up and there's a place to stand. Please wait to be seated. And then there's a cash register on your left. And there's people standing there like, looking, who the hell do we pay? There's no cashier here. About 3 minutes later, the cashier comes and rings him up. Seems as though she's kind of a rookie on the job. Takes a minute or so to ring them up, handle their transaction. Now I'm finally getting sat down about 4 or 5 minutes later after I stand there. So I just want to walk through the buffet and pick up some of this garbage, some of this slop, and throw it on a plate. So I do. I go through there. I sit down. Now there's about 5 tables around me that have people, all handled by the same waitress, who I believe must have been part cockroach, because I think she's waiting for somebody to finally turn out the lights before she appeared. Well, that didn't happen. Finally, she appeared. There was me, 2 other people who were each at single tables, a table of 2 and a table of 4 in her area. Not really that busy, considering it's a buffet. Only the table of 4 was actually ordering breakfast. Myself, the other 2 singles, and the double were all having the buffet slop. I get my full entire plate of food. I eat the probably 2/3 of the plate of food before she ever even asks what I want to drink. There's not even a glass of water there. I'm choking it down dry. I told her, I said, I'd like you to take one of those really big glasses and fill it full of milk. She says, okay. I finish my plate of food. Totally done. She brings me out a plastic cup full of milk and one of the really big, tall, much bigger than the plastic cup size glasses of ice water and says, I can't bring you one of these glasses full of milk because I'll get in trouble. So that's the biggest cup I could bring to you. You got to be kidding me. So I go and I get another plate of slop. And I got to tell you guys, no, you know what? I'm sorry. I had finished my food and had brought my second plate before she finally brought me my drink. I'm sorry. I have, my recollection is now clarified. Now I'm sitting there with my second plate of food, which is much smaller. And I now finally have about half of the milk that I want in this big-ass glass of sink water, which I'm not interested in at all. I don't drink sink water. Not at a hotel. I know what kind of water comes out of my sink at home because I got a filter on. I don't know where their sink water comes from. So, now I'm going through the rest of this food, and I got to tell you, it's to the point where a lot of buffets, what they do is, if something's starting to get low, they'll make some more. They take the old tray out, put the new tray in, take the old tray, and they'll take it in the back, and they'll throw that stuff away. Or so, I don't know. No, these guys just scoop out the stuff on the bottom of this one, which is old, and throw it on the top of the fresh stuff. And they continue, lather, rinse, repeat of this deal. I don't know that a soup kitchen would have accepted some of their food. It was just so disgusting yesterday. There wasn't that many people in the restaurant. Maybe they made enough food for a Saturday crowd, and it was a Tuesday, or Wednesday, rather. I don't know. Anyhow, it sucked. It was terrible. Then, I'm done eating. I'm looking at the waitress, diddling her, whatever she's doing. I almost slipped up. I didn't. I almost got bleeped. In the back, doing some, God knows what, before she finally comes out to bring two spoons to four people who wanted spoons at the table next to me. They don't have but two spoons. I gave somebody there a spoon. She still didn't bring me my check. Then she brings out their food. One of the lady's eggs is wrong. Over easy. The waitress brought her over medium, and then when the lady said, well, I ordered over easy, the waitress responds, oh, it's okay, and waves her off, like, just eat it and shut up. After 15 minutes of having been done, the milk is gone, I don't want the sink water, I finally just walk up to the register and said, you know something, I want to pay for a buffet and a large milk. It takes the new girl at the register 2 minutes to ring up a large milk. She ends up ringing me up for two small milks because that's all she can find on the idiot-resistant touch screen. I left a dollar tip. I normally tip 20 to 25%. She was lucky to get a buck. Stay tuned, guys. We're actually going to get into this whole cop-related thing, continuing on from yesterday when we returned. Stay tuned.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A radio show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back from the break. Yesterday, we were all talking all about your right to defense against unlawful arrest and cited all kinds of case law. For instance, here's an adjudication of a case. Citizens may resist unlawful arrest to the point of taking an arresting officer's life if necessary. In Palmer versus the State, 136 Indiana 306. And this premise was upheld by the Supreme Court of the United States in the case of John Bad Elk versus U.S., 177 U.S. 529, where the court stated, where the officer is killed in the course of the disorder which naturally accompanies an attempted arrest that is resisted, The law looks with very different eyes upon the transaction when the officer had the right to make the arrest from what it does if the officer had no right to make the arrest. What may be murder in the first case might be nothing more than manslaughter in the other, or the facts might show that no offense had been committed. That's the Supreme Court of the United States, the highest law in the land. Now, in part three, we're going to continue. It says, perhaps we have been led to believe that law enforcement, aka police, has superhuman rights. In fact, they have no rights, guys. It boggles the mind. It really ticks me off. When I hear anybody referring to anyone who's a cop when exercising their duties as having any right at all. They have no rights. They have power and authority. Even the court sometimes slips up and uses the word rights when in fact it's power and authority. So let me read this properly. Perhaps we've been led to believe that police have superhuman powers and authorities. That's really the way it should be. Perhaps the founding fathers and those that followed recognized that no special privilege could be granted to normal human beings who took a job that put them at risk. Perhaps arrests cannot be made unless by indictment, properly obtained information, or if a serious crime, not minor, is committed in the presence of the officer, and perhaps not even in this last case unless property or lives are at stake. As a general rule, we've accepted the fact that we may have to shoot another person to protect our lives, property, or money. Well, money is property. But what is property or money if not a previous conversion of time? What is it? It is exactly that. It is the fruits of your labor at some point in time getting you some monetary gain that you've turned into property or kept as monetary gain. Either way, it is your property. The time exerted to achieve the money or property surely has value. Would someone attempt to steal that time prior to conversion, are we not able to understand that even more is being taken away than when it's just property? Just because a man is wearing a badge gives him no right or power or authority to take from us what we would not allow to be taken by someone without a badge. Why have we come to a point that we accept authority such as that which invaded Mount Carmel Center, Waco, Texas, without question? Again, that's the Branch Davidian. However, when the matter comes to life or death, we are willing to protect our property by any means necessary when just the property is jeopardized. The natural and common law right of self-defense. Here comes some of it. Right? Here comes some more court cases. Common as the event may be, it is a serious thing to arrest a citizen, and it is a more serious thing to search his person, and he who accomplishes it must do so in conformity to the law of the land. There are two reasons for this. One, to avoid bloodshed, and the other, to preserve liberty of the citizen. Obedience to the law is the bond of society, and the officers set to enforce the law are not exempt from its mandates. That is a quote from the adjudication of the town of Blacksburg versus Bean, 104 SC, 146 88 SC 144, 1916, and also upheld in Allen versus State, 197 NW 808, 810-11, Wisconsin, 1924. Where the officers do not conform to the law of the land, they have no authority, and the right to resist them exists. Now, that's a right. The right of the person that they are trying to subvert the law of the land. They're trying to subvert the law of the land. The right exists to resist from that officer. Again, where officers do not conform to the law of the land, they have no authority, and the right to resist them exists. A public officer, as with a citizen, who unlawfully threatens life or liberty, is susceptible to being injured or killed, for by such acts they draw their own blood upon themselves, as stated in some cases, where a peace officer has no right to make an arrest without warrant. He is a trespasser and acts at his own peril. That is 6ACJS. Arrests, section 16, page 30. A sheriff who acts without process or under a process void on its face in doing such act, he is not to be considered an officer but a personal trespasser. Robert V. Dean, 187SO, 571-575, Florida, 1939. A person has a lawful right to resist an arrest by an unlawful authority, i.e., an officer without a warrant. That is out of the Franklin case, 118 GA, 860, 45 SE, 698, out of 1903. Are you getting the idea, guys? What I'm hoping is that the police will get the idea. Here's another. What of the resistance to the arrest? The authorities are in agreement that since the right of personal property is one of the fundamental rights guaranteed by the Constitution, any unlawful interference with it may be resisted, and every person has a right to resist an unlawful arrest. And in preventing such illegal restraints of his liberty, he may use such force as may be necessary. City of Columbus v. Holmes, 152 NW 2D 301-306, Ohio Appellate Court, 1058. Now, do you get that? What it says is, if the authorities are in agreement that since the right of personal property is one of the fundamental guaranteed rights by the Constitution, any unlawful interference with it, with the whole personal property deal, may be resisted, and every person has a right to resist an unlawful arrest. And in preventing such illegal restraints of his liberty, he may use such force as may be necessary. You get that? Here's another. It is the law of self-defense and self-preservation that is applicable. One has an unalienable right to protect his life, liberty, or property from unlawful attack or harm. It is not an offense to liberate one from the unlawful custody of an officer, even though he may have submitted to such custody without resistance. That's Ardens v. State, 121 GA 136, 48 SE 1910 out of 1904. An illegal arrest is an assault and battery. The person so attempted to be restrained of his liberty has the same right, and only the same right, to use force in defending himself as he would in repelling any other assault and battery. State v. Robinson, 145 ME, 77, 72, ATL, 2nd 260, 262, out of 1950. Giving you all this stuff in case you want to replay it. Go to 2aradio.com. Listen to the archives of this, and you can hear all this stuff and look it up for yourselves. A citizen illegally arrested cannot initiate the use of force, and neither do words alone justify an assault. However, when the officer initiates the assault by physical contact, which is usually the case, and there is an unlawful arrest, the citizen has the right to protect his liberty to the extent of killing the officer. See Green v. Kentucky, 48 NY, Rep. 654, out of 1871, and or Hicks v. Matthews, 266 SW 2nd, 846, 849, out of Texas in 1954. Upheld in 1954. Now, what rights has the citizen in resisting an unlawful arrest? An arrest without a warrant is a trespass. an unlawful arrest upon the person, and how far one thus unlawfully assaulted may go in resistance is to be determined as in other cases of assault. Life and liberty are regarded as standing substantially on one foundation, life being useless without liberty, and the authorities are uniformed that where one is about to be unlawfully deprived of his liberty, he may resist the aggression of the officer to the extent of taking the life of the assailant, if that be necessary to preserve his own life or prevent infliction upon him of some great bodily harm. State versus Gum, 68, West Virginia, 105, 69, SE, 463, 464, out of 1910. Now, what they're telling is this. Again, listen to this. Life and liberty are regarded as standing substantially on one foundation. That is, life being useless without liberty. So what they're saying is, if your liberty is being threatened, that is the same as your life as being threatened, because your life has no substantial meaning without liberty in this country. So understand, if your liberties are being threatened based on this particular court decision, if your liberty is being threatened, this court decision says you can use whatever force is necessary, up to and including lethal force, to protect your liberty from unlawful conduct. Interesting, isn't it? This is just historical information. I want you to understand this historical information is out there. That's the whole reason for going over this stuff. It is the law that a person illegally arrested by an officer may resist that arrest, even to the extent of taking the life, if his own life or any great bodily harm is threatened. State versus Rousseau, R-O-U-S-S-E-A-U, 40 Washington 2nd, 92, 241, P. 2nd, 447, 449, 1952. Porter versus State, blah, 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 blah. All these other, that one was backed up. My God, there's got to be 15 different court signings backing that up. Here's another. The United States Supreme Court and every other court in the past deciding upon the matter has recognized that at common law, a person has the right to, quote, resist the illegal attempts to arrest him. Illegal attempts. That is John Bad Elk versus United States, 177 U.S. 529, 534 through 35 out of 1899. There are several different cases that reaffirm this. State versus Robinson in Maine. State versus Gum in West Virginia. State versus Rousseau in Washington. State versus Mobley in North Carolina. Wilkinson versus State in Mississippi. Thomas versus State in Georgia. Presley versus State in Florida. Burkhart versus State in Texas. Mullins versus State in Georgia. Owens versus State in Texas. Franklin. There's a Franklin case in Georgia. Graham versus State in Georgia. City of Columbus v. Holmes in Ohio. Adams versus State in Georgia. A lot of these in Georgia. Robertson v. State in Tennessee. Roberts versus Dean in Florida. There's a few more. The State of Connecticut against Leach. Hausch versus the people in Illinois. Plummer versus the state in Indiana. John Bell Elk versus U.S. in the Supreme Court. People versus Havern in New York, U.S. versus Cicerello in Atlanta, Georgia, or no, New Jersey, U.S. versus Kelly in Second Federal Appellate Court, Berdarnik versus Berdarnik in New Jersey, State versus Height in Iowa, People versus Corner in Michigan, Boyd versus the U.S., State versus Newcomb in Missouri, Town of Blacksburg v. Bean in South Carolina, Allen versus State in Wisconsin, Arden versus State in Georgia, and Greenville versus Kentucky in New York, Hicks versus Matthew, we're almost done, in Texas, Porter v. State in Georgia, Mullins v. State in Georgia, Caperstown versus the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Now, 35, 36, something like that, examples of all of this stuff from the 1800s into this last century, nothing yet in the 20s, in the new millennium, that's listed here. All of this information, thank you so much to regular listener and email contributor, Joe Rospapa. R-O-S-P-A-P-A. Joe, you are a gem. I thank you for all of this information. This is the type of stuff that the people need to know has historically been adjudicated on. Now, again, by no means whatsoever am I professing you go out there and get yourself involved in some sort of tidbit with a cop just to see if he'll try to arrest you for no reason and then drum something up later so you have an opportunity to get into a scuffle and maybe shoot them and then try to get off based on one of these prior courts. Absolutely not. You have to respect the life and liberty of the people who are toting around the badge. They just get misled by the people training them. So stay tuned. We'll talk about that a little bit after the break. We'll be right back.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not when you belong.
And welcome back, guys. Thanks for staying in through the break. Now, again, all of this stuff that we are talking about when it comes to the unlawful arrest, this is all historical cases. This is not an excuse to go out there and get involved in something. It's not at all. It's just so you understand the way the courts have leaned over the last 150 years on occasions when police, who were started back in the mid-1800s, actually started abusing their power and authority. Now, there's a big, big changeover in the whole mindset of cops back in the starting in the 1950s. This is really how things went down. After the end of World War II, the military became an occupying force in Europe. And while they were there, in order to police up those cops, or I'm sorry, to police up the people who were in those country, military and military MPs became, as a military thing, there's not a bunch of liberty and justice there. It's more of an overpowering sort of force. So when the cops of old back here in the States started retiring, they started getting people who had been in the military and had been part of this occupying force to come in and start filling up all of these cop slots that were being vacated by retirees. They then brought in this more of an occupying force sort of mentality. And that quickly swept through the entire policing community, where they now have turned into law enforcement, where they used to be police. It used to be where they'd help people. Now it's all, we're going to enforce the laws on everybody that we come across citizenry. We're going to pound them and get them pounded into the ground. So just understand, that's really where this whole thing came from. And now what we have is probably four generations, easy, worth of cops who have subscribed to this theory that came out in the 50s. So what we have is garbage in, garbage out when it comes to information. You understand? When you have garbage information coming in to the people who are supposed to be performing the job, you've then got garbage going out into the public when they perform their jobs. You can't always blame the individual cop. Sometimes you can, but not always, because they go by what they've been taught in the police academies, which a lot of it, trust me, I'm a former Las Vegas Metro street cop. Trust me, a lot of it has to do with getting compliance out of the people you're dealing with. Protect and serve. Yes, they are the citizens. We're there to protect and serve them, which is a total farce. Supreme Court has ruled that there is no protection that the police have to offer any individual citizen in the country, which is why we need to carry guns to protect ourselves. It's garbage. So, anyhow, I hope you understand where we were going with this. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for the Control Factor coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday. I will not.